This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. The Biden administration admits there will be chaos at the border when Title 42 is removed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. We've got a lot to talk about today. But before we get into the substance of the program, I want to say a thank you to our chief engineer, Ray Vaca, who's been with us for over 7 years now. He is retiring today. This is his last broadcast for Sekulow. He's been a loyal, faithful, and very talented member of our team here at the ACLJ. We wish Ray and his family a great retirement. He's a musician, so I know what he's going to be doing. I can relate. And I just need to say that, you know, and those of you that watch this broadcast know I say this often, it's the people behind the camera that get all this together. And knowing Ray was there as the chief engineer, controlling the board, controlling what you're hearing, has been a great blessing for all of us that are on this side of the camera. So, again, a huge thank you to Ray. And I also want to say, put a little note in the chat if you're on Facebook, Rumble, or YouTube, and wish Ray a happy retirement. Well, as we go from retirement, you're welcome. Ray, I'm looking at you. You did great. Thank you. He's also trained the whole next group that's coming in to do this. It'll be flawless, and I appreciate Ray making the transition smooth. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. Harry's here, CeCe's here, Andy's here, and we're going to start with the government. The United States government filed its response in the Title 42 case. Remember, Chief Justice Roberts issued a stay. That stay basically said Title 42 will be utilized until there is an adjudication or further order from the court, which means the court could, I mean, tonight, the brief was filed yesterday, so all the briefs are in at this stage. I mean, tomorrow they could lift the stay. What's fascinating, Andy, is that the government, the United States, who wants to lift the stay, you would have thought they would have come in and said, hey, go ahead and lift the stay, we don't need it. And they said exactly the opposite, at least temporarily. They said, well, we think we have the authority to act under Title 8, which is a different provision of the law, but don't lift the stay right away. Give us a week to figure this out, because they acknowledge that they got some real problems here on the border.
Yeah, give us through Christmas to sort out the problems, but get rid of this stay. Get rid of this Title 42 USC 265 that was imposed by a prior administration, but not so quickly, because we admit, and I'm reading from the Solicitor General's brief, Jay, although the end of Title 42 orders likely will lead to a temporary increase in border crossings, yeah, they admit that there's going to be as if we need more border crossings than we've got right now. They admit, the government admits, there's going to be an increase in border crossings if Title 42 USC 265 is limited. But they then say the government is prepared to address that serious problem under its Title 8 authorities. That's the immigration law, including by adopting new policies to respond to the temporary disruption that will occur when Title 42 ends.
So it's interesting also, CeCe, it's the next sentence of that provision, in the government's brief we're reading from, the government in no way seeks to minimize the seriousness of that problem, the problem being the increased disruption and increase in unlawful entry, and they're not prepared to handle it.
Right. They've had 2 years to handle it. But I thought it was really funny. They say, hey, if the Supreme Court doesn't reach a decision until December 23rd or later, the administration is asking for 2 business days to implement new policies. So they've had 2 years, but they think they're going to do it in 2 days.
Yeah, we only got 57 seconds left. Harry, 2 days, they want 2 days or a week. They've had 2 years when they had the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Absolutely. And so what we've had over the last 2 years is simply chaos, unmitigated chaos at the border. This has been part of a deliberate initiative by the Biden administration. They now admit that there will be a catastrophe in the future if this order, Title 42, is abrogated.
Such a bizarre approach to the litigation at the Supreme Court. I can't begin to tell you. All right, folks, we're going to take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Marsha Blackburn, Senator from Tennessee, joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge Campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. broadcast, everyone. We're joined by our friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. Senator, thanks for being on the broadcast. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And we look forward to working with you as we have in the past and in the coming new year. I do want to say this. You have been very vocal, and we're pleased that you are, about the border crisis and that every town is now a border town. Every community is a border community. Every city is a border city, which is true because the border crisis is affecting the entire country. What's interesting is the a number of the states took up a case to the Supreme Court involving Title 42, which was put in during the previous administration to try to give some control to the border in light of the pandemic because of concerns of increasing vulnerability to citizens in the United States with regard to the COVID. And that was scheduled to end. The administration wanted to end it. Some of the states came in and said, you know what, don't end that so quickly. We don't think that's a good idea. And then what's fascinating, Senator, is it goes to the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice issues a temporary stay, and the government comes in and files a brief saying, we think you should lift the stay, but don't lift it right away because it's going to, quote, increase the unlawful entry border crossings and cause further disruption. So that's what the United States admits, Senator, in their brief.
And we know that they have no plan for how to handle this once Title 42 is lifted. And Jay, this is the reason they're saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and push these illegal immigrants out across the country. And as you know, Tennessee is going to get busloads. There will be 50 per busload. It will be at least two every week for the foreseeable future. And these are single adults. These are not families that are escaping. These are single adults. And I think that's so important to note. But this administration is treating every state and every community like they're a border community. They are disrespectful of the people in the states. Tennessee did not want to be a sanctuary state. Our cities didn't want to be sanctuary cities. But in the Biden administration, what they at the White House think is going to trump everything. It's going to trump your state law, your local law. They are going to have their way. And in order to mitigate this crisis at the border with 15,000 people a day coming across the border, they're going to load them up. They're going to move them to different communities. We are trying to halt this and asking the question. Senator Hagerty and I and Governor Lee and Attorney General Scarametti are asking, have you vetted these people? Have you tested them for COVID? Have you tested them for other diseases? Do you have criminals that are in the population coming? Do you have terrorists? You know, we had 98 known terrorists come across last year. Are there terrorists in the population that you are sending to our state? So we're not getting any response. We're going to continue to push, and we're going to continue to try to halt this action of the federal government.
You know, Senator, one of the things that's just fascinating to me when I look at the brief that was filed by the United States government, and I think this is where it comes into play so significantly, they admit, I want to give you the exact words. This is, again, Title 42 was the ability to use Title 42 is now still in place, so the government can use Title 42 pending what happens at the Supreme Court. The state of Texas, Arizona, other states, Tennessee as well, filed an application for a stay that the district court and the Court of Appeals decision not be implemented. That would have done away with Title 42. I'm not getting to the merits of it. What I'm talking about is just this is what the government puts in their brief to the United States Supreme Court. And no wonder they're asking that if the court denies the stay, they don't. They kind of give a stay temporarily because the government says this is the quote exactly from the brief, Senator. The government recognizes that at the end of Title 42, orders will likely lead to disruption and a temporary increase in unlawful border crossings. The government in no way seeks to minimize the seriousness of that problem. And then when it comes to the relief, they're saying, well, we want you to lift the stay, but don't lift it right away. You got to give us notice because it's going to be chaos at the border.
And they admit that. And see, they have no plan other than, okay, let's put everybody on buses and planes and send them all across the country, because we've got these border communities, El Paso, Rio Grande Valley, some communities in counties here in Arizona that are saying, hey, you're running over us. Our citizens are not able to go about their daily lives. Businesses are having problems with theft and crime. So you got to do something. And when you've got the Democrat mayor of El Paso, Texas, say, declaring an emergency in El Paso, an emergency, when you've got a humanitarian crisis of people that are being raped, that are being drugged as they are making this journey, as they are being physically abused, when you know that drug traffickers are just running into the country, when you know that cartels are operating on U.S. soil, they are so emboldened right now. They've gone into these sanctuary cities. They set up their drug trafficking, their human trafficking, sex trafficking operations. You've got the gangs that are expanding. Why do we have so much crime in the streets, crime in communities, theft, carjackings? It is the gangs that are taking hold in so many communities across the country. And people are saying, enough already. Let's stop this. But the Biden administration, they are so given to having no borders, to having an end to borders. And a nation that does not have borders does not have sovereignty. And to add insult to injury, you can see, Jay, what they did was to go in here into this omnibus, and they have put money for Turkey and Greece and other countries to have enhanced border security, but zip, nada, none, not a penny for our border protection, but there's money there to mitigate the issues.
Here's what's so interesting about that, because we're actually talking about that later in the broadcast. I'm glad you brought it up. So in the omnibus bill, they have a provision that allocates $410 million for border security for Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman for enhanced border security, which I'm not opposed to. The whole Middle East has been reshaped in a positive way, and they need border security. But when it comes to the United States, $1.5 billion to the Customs and Border Patrol. But then this is what it says. But those funds are prohibited from being used to acquire, maintain, or extend border security technology and capabilities unless improving processing for the migrants that are coming over. Senator, this is I'm going to say this. This is insane.
It is absurd. Now, see, they stipulate that the money cannot be used to secure our border, but in another section of the bill, they specifically and explicitly give these countries money to enhance their border security. You know, you just can't make this stuff up.
You really can't. You can't make up their brief either, saying, hey, you know, we want the stay removed, but don't remove it too quick. I mean, this is what's it's so out of the ordinary. That's being kind, by the way, to the situation. Well, Senator, thanks for being with us. Merry Christmas again to you and your family and your staff. And we look forward to working with you next year. Thanks for your voice and for standing up for all of us. Thanks, Senator.
You got it. Take care. Yep. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So here's the thing that's so interesting to me, Harry, on looking at this. The government is acknowledging the problem and with offering no solution except to tell the Supreme Court, if you're going to lift it, which we want you to do, don't lift it so quick.
Absolutely. And so the Biden policy is absolutely incoherent. Joe Biden has become America's chaos president. He has no coherent plan to deal with a border crisis that he alone has caused. He's prepared to send hordes of illegals throughout the United States. Most of those illegals are single men. So this is a highly mistaken policy, and it's driven by one thing and one thing only: left-wing ideology that favors illegals over American citizens.
So here's what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're engaged in all of these issues, whether it's at the Supreme Court of the United States, whether it's at the policy level, as Harry was just alluding to. We've helped the cities and the states that are involved in this litigation. And none of this happens, including this broadcast, without your support. So I want to ask you, as we are entering the last really 8 days of the month, these are our critical days. We had a great day yesterday. I want to thank our friend Sean Hannity for letting Jordan and I host his broadcast. It was great. And And we had a great response and a great time doing it. But your support of the ACLJ is critical, and we're in a matching challenge. So what that means is any amount you donate to us, we're getting a matching gift for. So if you donate $20, we get another $20 from someone else, and it's $40. If you're able, and I always say if you're able to support the work of the ACLJ, I'd really encourage you to do it at ACLJ.org. Again, it's tax deductible. You can get a matching gift, which is great for us. So, like I said, somebody donates 10, it's 20, 20, 40, 100, 200. So I really appreciate it. Our whole team does. Again, thank you to Ray Vaca, who's been our chief engineer for 7 years on his retirement. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. So I want to encourage you to call us at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've got a lot more ahead. We're going to talk about more on Title 42, more on border security. What about the tax returns being leased by Congress on the former president? How would you feel if it was your tax returns being released, by the way? There's a particular provision of law that actually prevents the IRS from doing it, but Congress did. It's an interesting dynamic. Again, we'll take your calls. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment. So I let it play longer for the intro. That's our band doing the chorus. Everybody knows the tune. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me play Senator Sinema, the now independent from Arizona. Take a listen.
It is dangerous from a security perspective and a humanitarian perspective. But if Title 42 is lifted, you can imagine that multiple folds times worse every single day.
And pointing that out, you don't think leads to inspiring other people to come up to the border?
It's fact. This is fact. The facts are that more people will come when Title 42 expires, and it will become a more dangerous situation for not only our border communities, but for those migrants themselves.
It is a humanitarian crisis for the migrants as well, by the way. It's terrible conditions. Inhumane in a lot of aspects. Larry's calling from Washington State, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us, Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so the Biden administration is absolutely breaking the law. We know that. I don't think the American people are understanding the grasp of this situation simply because the media won't put it out there. I mean, the administration's wagging the dog and lying to us.
Well, let's back up a second, Larry, because the situation's horrific, and it's affecting communities. I mean, between fentanyl, sex trafficking, human smuggling, I mean, this is horrific. But when you make a statement, I appreciate you calling in, that the Biden administration is breaking the law. I want to be clear here. What law do you think they're breaking? Because they're not actually breaking the law. They're just not putting policies and laws in place that are effective. That's the problem. It's not a law they're breaking, so to speak. It's a law that's not being effective or policies not being effectively implemented. So I want to be clear on that, Andy. That's the differential here.
Yeah, and there is a differential between breaking a law, in other words, knowingly violating a law, and simply being negligent or nonfeasant. In other words, you have laws on the books in Title 8 under the immigration laws that regulate the borders and how you admit people and deny people entry and so forth. But for two whole years, the Biden administration has simply ignored those laws, not enforced them, not put them in place, and has simply allowed these mass migrations across the border, 2,500, 25,000, it adds up little by little.
Yep.
And as Senator Blackburn said, and this is important, if you don't have borders, you don't have sovereignty. Even President Obama said the borders are sacred and they have to be maintained with great care. Do you imagine President Kennedy, a Democratic icon, ever having allowed the border to become as porous and trafficked as this border is? The answer to that is absolutely not. Borders are important.
Yeah, so one of the interesting aspects of all of this is all happening under the Title 42 issue, which is what's giving the government the authority to take the action they've taken to try to control the situation, which is admittedly not easy. Title 42 is set to expire yesterday. There was a case taken by Texas, Arizona, Virginia, Tennessee, and other states, took the case up to the Supreme Court. John Roberts, the Chief Justice, which he had the authority to do, CeCe, issues a stay. That's an administrative stay. It's not a decision on the merits. He can then do three things. He can continue the stay, he could deny the stay, or he could refer it to the entire court. I suspect it gets referred to the entire court at the end of the day. But what's fascinating to me is the United States files a brief to the Supreme Court in response to the stay, technically rejecting the stay, but acknowledging not only the problems, but that if you do dissolve the stay, don't do it right away.
Yeah, it's so confusing. They're arguing out of both sides of their mouth. They absolutely, in their brief, acknowledge the seriousness of this problem. If Title 42, if the stay is lifted, that they are going to have a serious problem. But they don't want Title 42 to be lifted just right away because, again, there's a serious problem and they need to get a plan in place. And this is where it's just laughable to me because they've had 2 years to get policies and plans in place to secure the border. This is not something new that just came upon them that, oh my gosh, Title 42 is expiring. They've known it. They've had 2 years to put plans in place. And then they have the audacity to say, hey, if you're going to, you know, don't reach a decision until December 23rd or later, could you give us 2 more business days to implement new policies? 2 business days. They've had 2 years and they couldn't do it, but they think they're going to do it in 2 business days.
Right. Let me go ahead and take Ben's call from online 3. Ben, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just wanted to express why every senator and congressman isn't standing in line, the Republicans, and saying the Democrats' whole objective is to turn every red state blue within our nation. That,
well, I think a lot of the senators are, Ben. I mean, I think the Republican, the problem is you don't control the Senate. The Republicans don't control the Senate. So, Harry, from a policy standpoint, you could have, I think Marsha Blackburn laid it out very well on what the policy should be in the United States. But if you don't control both chambers and the White House, it's very difficult, like impossible.
I think that is correct. But I think Ben does have a point in the sense that the Republicans should exert greater pressure on the administration. They should develop, if you will, a backbone. Because if you look at the omnibus spending bill, which is pending before Congress, we are allocating funds to protect the borders in the Middle East, in Jordan. And I'm not opposed to that. But we expressly, this is from the bill itself, disallow the funding of additional border security. In my judgment,
for
the United States. So in my judgment, that policy is incoherent. And I believe the Republicans should do a better job of informing the American people of the inherent incoherency of the Biden administration approach. Keep in mind that the Biden administration, essentially, with respect to the border, they want to have it both ways. They claim that the border, for instance, is secure. Everyone knows that is a lie. But then they claim that the crisis at the border is a function of Republican inaction. So I think the Republicans should do a better job, at least, of informing the American people that we have a problem at the border and that the Republicans are prepared to stand up to the left-wing base of the Democrat policy. Because keep in mind, many centrist Democrats, particularly in border states, what are they doing? They are opposed to the Biden administration policy. So the Republicans should join forces with those individuals and say, enough is enough.
That's where you come in, folks. And the ACLJ, we try to be your voice in Washington, D.C., in the courts, in city council meetings, helping this. I can't tell you how many attorney generals and states we've helped over the decades that we've been working on this, on pro-life issues, on immigration, on protecting American sovereignty. All of that happens because of your support of the ACLJ. Without your support, it doesn't happen. So what I want to encourage you to do is support the work of the ACLJ. I'm happy to ask for your support because we all here believe in this mission. And the mission to continue relies on your support, your generous support to the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, which means this. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And you can do that simply. The best way to do it is aclj.org. That's aclj.org. That's the best way to communicate. That's the best way to engage with us is at aclj.org. And the Donate Now button is right there. Also, follow us on Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, YouTube, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. We encourage you to do all that. If you're on those social media platforms right now, share it with your friends. More coming up in just a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Very strange filing at the Supreme Court of the United States on Title 42. As you know, we've been covering it for months here. Title 42 was issued under the previous administration, gave authority for Customs and Border Patrol to take decisive action with illegal migration coming to the United States. It was set to expire multiple times, but most recently Wednesday. A variety of states filed a lawsuit. That lawsuit ended up on an emergency stay before the Supreme Court of the United States. Like I said, I've handled a lot of stays at the Supreme Court, and I've gotten them that have lasted an hour, 2 days, 4 months. So you never know. In this particular case, the Chief Justice issued the stay, asked for the United States to respond yesterday by 5 o'clock to the state of Texas, Virginia, Tennessee, and others, a petition requesting this stay so that 42 can still be implemented. A very strange response, Andy, on page 2 and 3, right at the front of their brief. I mean, right in the beginning, and I'm going to read it because it sets forth the whole tone. This is the, you know, folks, this isn't my commentary. This is the United States government's brief. If we have a copy of it, we'll show it on the screen. If not, I'm holding it. So this is their brief that they filed. Here's what they say. The government recognizes that the end of Title 42 orders will likely lead to disruption and a temporary increase in unlawful border crossing. The government in no way seeks to minimize the seriousness of that problem. And then the government asks for, if the stay is going to be lifted, in other words, if the government, if the court says, nope, stay's over with, they said, hey, don't issue that right away because we need at least 2 days to get things ready. They have no plan here, Andy, and they're acknowledging it's going to be increased trouble at the border, which is already in trouble.
Jay, they don't have a plan. They've never had a plan. In the 2 years since President Biden took the oath of office, they have implemented no immigration plan, no tangible, palpable, sensible, reasonable immigration plan to deal with the crisis at the southern border, which becomes the crisis in the entire United States. The president was recently asked about the border. What did he say? I have more important things to talk about. No, you don't. Borders are what makes countries. China built a wall. The Romans built a wall. In East Jerusalem, we have a wall. In the Byzantine Empire had soldiers and the Limes and the Akrites who guarded the borders against the barbarians coming in. The Romans did the same in the West, guarding against the invaders coming in. Borders are significant. Borders are not just things you draw in geography class and say, oh, there's Colorado and there's Utah and there's a line. Borders define nationality. They define sovereignty. They define a people. They define a culture. They define a civilization. Without borders, you have none of that. President Biden has failed us in every respect when it comes to borders, and he's not going to cure the problem in 2 days.
He's not going to cure it in 2 days. That was a ridiculous statement in that Supreme Court brief, honestly. But again, Representative, the Senator Sinema from Arizona, who is now an independent, addressed this again about the lack of the president even visiting the border in the first 2 years of his presidency.
I absolutely think the president should visit the border. In fact, I think anyone who's responsible for setting or making policy on the border should visit the border. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
How do you solve a problem unless you see the evidence? You've got to see the evidence.
Right. Well, I think that's proof that they're not trying to solve a problem. They're creating more problems. Like we said, every city and town is becoming a border town and city because they're shipping all the migrants to every single state. So there's no state that's not impacted by this.
Wait until we get into this omnibus bill in the next segment. See where your taxpayer money's going? You're not going to believe it. We are going to take your call. So for Kay, Barbara, and Steve, hang on the line. We're going to get to you after this break. For others, if you want to talk to us, it's 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. The last 8 days of the month here, folks, very important. ACLJ.org. Your support makes a huge difference in our ability to be your voice in Washington, in the courts, in the legislature. ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Blood of the Father, now in flesh of
like I said, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. There's an omnibus bill that's going to be voted on in the Senate tomorrow, chock full of your expenditures. This is your taxpayer dollars, our taxpayer dollars at work. Harry mentioned earlier, and I do want to go to it first. So there's a bill about border security. So in the bill, $410 million will be available to reimburse the countries of Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman for enhanced border security. At least $150 million of that must go to Jordan, according to the bill. Now, I'm all in favor of that. I think we should help our allies increase their border security because everybody's worried about the Iranians, let's be honest. But you know what's also in the bill? A prohibition for the United States to have border security. Here's what I mean. The bill allocates $1.5 billion to the Customs and Border Patrol for border management requirements and $340 million to Immigration and Customs Enforcers for non-detention border management requirement funds. They are prohibited from being used to acquire, maintain, or extend border security technology and capabilities unless it's going to improve processing of immigrants or migrants. So here's the question. We're saying to our allies in the Middle East, here's $500 million, get your border secure because we know it's important to fight Iran. At the same time, Harry, we're saying, you know what, in the United States, we're going to give you $1.5 billion, Customs and Border Patrol. But let me tell you something. Do not use it for enhanced border security. It may not be used for that. How could this even be right?
Your point is very, very valid. Essentially, the Biden administration has declared that it wants to keep the U.S. border open while closing the border for Egypt, for Jordan, for Tunisia, and other countries. So at the end of the day, the Biden administration has put itself, if you will, in a vice. It basically wants to keep the border open, but it wants to tell the American people that the border is indeed secure. Indeed, the president's spokesperson keeps claiming that anyone who says that the border is insecure is doing the work of smugglers, human smugglers. The reality, of course, is that no one has done more for human smuggling than the Biden administration.
True.
So they are driven, if you will, by a left-wing bias that favors illegals over the interests of the American people.
All right, we're taking your phone calls, as I said, 1-800-684-3110. Barbara's calling from North Carolina. Barbara, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm 59 years old. My husband and I have worked, paid taxes, and voted, but I'm at a point now where I don't even know what to do.
Yep.
Does my vote even matter? How can I make a difference? Because this border crisis has worried me more than anything else ever since this administration took over.
Sure.
And by the way, my niece died from a fentanyl poisoning.
I have a nephew, same thing. I mean, I could list the people of the fentanyl poisonings that are, it's touched every family in the United States. That's enough reason to close it down, folks, and to have protection. We are being inundated with fentanyl, and it's killing our people 18 to 44 years old, and it's an outrage. And this administration's lip service is, oh, we know it's going to get worse when we lift Title 42, but we've got nothing to do to protect it. And Andy, I think about this, and it was an excellent call because it shows the reality of the harm that is taking place to America's families.
It is, and she should not be afraid to continue to vote and to express her opinion at the polls simply because this is the situation. You vote and you continue to vote. That's the American way. That's the way that we do it in a constitutional republic.
Yep.
But I can understand the frustration that you feel. Look, we're going to give money to the Middle East so that they can secure their borders. There's an expression in Greek, others were saved, but himself he cannot save. Alus esosen, afton udinatesose. In other words, we're giving money to save others from the same plague that we cannot save ourselves from, and that is destruction and annihilation from the insinuation of illegals from all over the world through our southern border, insinuating themselves into every state of the Union. We cannot save ourselves from that. We will ultimately collapse. There's no saving if you cannot have sanctioned borders yep. that are safe, that are secure, that are protected, that are guarded. Instead of having IRS agents, 87,000, how about 87,000 Border Patrol agents?
Exactly.
That's what we need.
Yep.
Why can't this president understand the sanctity and the importance of a border?
He doesn't. He's got other priorities, he says. Meanwhile, I just want, we talked about fentanyl. You can't ignore sex trafficking either. And this is the avenue, CC, and we've been working on this at the ACLJ for decades. This is the border is where this comes in.
Absolutely.
And then goes up to every city in the country.
That's right. And the cartels know. They watch. They know the Title 42 is ending. And they take the opportunities. They're going to flood the borders with human trafficking, with drug trafficking. It's just a free-for-all for them at the border. And the Biden administration has no plan to stop it. And I don't really believe they have any intention to stop it.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Kay in Florida. Kay, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I just wanted to make a real quick comment.
Yep.
This administration has had 2 years to address the border crisis, but their number one priority has been chasing Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, there's no question that their focus has been on other things, to say the least. And, you know, and in the last few days, of course, we had the January 6th briefing going out. Then they were all excited that they released the former president's tax returns, which, by the way, every American in this country should be concerned with. The idea that the Congress doing the investigation would then release your returns. The IRS can't do that. There's a title, 26 USC 6103, it's the Internal Revenue Code, says confidentiality and disclosure of returns and return information, and it's a prohibition if the IRS were to do it. But Congress is thrilled that they're announcing this and they're taking all these resources for going after tax returns from 7 years ago. Meanwhile, we got a disaster on the border, which the government is admitting, Harry, that they can't control. I mean, it's like they're setting up a straw man in their brief by saying, we know it's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. And by the way, if you're going to lift the stay, which we want you to lift, but you got to give us, you know, 2 or 3 days notice because it's running into Christmas and all, like they're not going to come in Christmas. The illegal unlawful entry is not going to take place during Christmas. And listen, this is a humanity crisis, too, because you see what's going on the border. It's horrible, terrible.
I think you're precisely correct. So I think the Biden administration has taken the view that it can't do anything to control our borders. It's admitting that in terms of its court filing. But what is missing radically with respect to this particular administration is the willingness to control our border. If the Biden administration was prepared to control our border, the border would indeed and could be secure. But they are not prepared to expend the resources. The omnibus bill, which now hangs by a thread in Congress, that basically proves the point. The omnibus bill prevents the Biden administration from securing the border. So they are allocating the southern border. They're allocating $1.56 billion, so long as it is not used to secure the border from fentanyl, from sex trafficking, from all sorts of nefarious misconduct. And so I think at the end of the day, the American people need to read completely the United States Constitution. President Biden has a constitutional obligation to protect the American people from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But the real problem, the real core of the problem, is the ideological commitments
yes.
of the people in the Biden administration. They are not prepared to protect the American people. They dislike middle and working class Americans, and they really don't care about their needs. And that, I think, is unfortunately the real story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you go through this omnibus bill, $1.5 million to encourage people to eat outdoors in Pasadena, California. I'm not kidding you. $1.1 million for a solar array in cloudy Kirkland, Washington. $2 million for B360, a group that promotes dirt bike culture in Baltimore, which is one of Cece's favorite. It's one of your favorites. That's the one she
yeah,
put.
That really needs it. I didn't even know there was dirt bike culture.
I think you were anti-dirt bike in the meeting. Yeah, $3 million for the remote island of St. George, Alaska for water infrastructure. $2.5 million for harbor improvements, which it comes out to $82,000 per resident. Just give the residents the $82,000. They'd be much better off. You got to have a skate park in Rhode Island for $500,000. And then my favorite one, I think, is $1.6 million for the Leahy Center in Vermont, named after Senator Patrick Leahy, the member who requested the earmark, by the way, Senator Patrick Leahy. So there you go. Your government dollars at work. We got a full bank of phone calls. We'll take your calls. You can call us. One line's open, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to ask you, as I will, proudly to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and have your gift doubled. If you donate $50, we're getting another $50, so we get $100. It only costs you $50. If you're able to do it, we appreciate it. ACLJ.org. Last 8 days of this matching challenge. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110 in a moment. Back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment here. We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We've been talking about the crisis on the border because it's at the Supreme Court of the United States right now. The government, the United States government, filed its brief saying, hey, look, we know this is going to be a mess and the border, the unlawful entries are going to increase. There's going to be more chaos at the border, but we want the stay lifted. But Supreme Court, don't lift the stay if you're doing it before the 23rd because we need some extra days because they acknowledge how bad it's going to be. But here's why. This is a Drug Enforcement Administration press release. This is shocking, folks. I want you to hear these numbers. As 2022 comes to an end, this is directly from their press release, the DEA is announcing the seizure of over 50.6 million fentanyl-laced fake prescription pills and more than 10,000 pounds of fentanyl powder this calendar year. The DEA laboratory estimates that these seizures represent more than 379 million potentially deadly doses of fentanyl just in this year. There are 332,403 Americans. That's enough fentanyl seized in 2022 to kill every American in the United States. And there are more important things than border control, Mr. President? I think not. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Steve's on from California. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Merry Christmas, and thanks for taking my call, Jay.
Sure.
I come from a law enforcement family,
yep.
And if I have a friend that walks in the door and he just robbed a bank or he just killed somebody, and I offer him sanctuary and I don't turn him in, that makes me an accessory to his crime.
Correct.
Why isn't Biden or his administration held by that same accounting?
Because the president of the United States, first of all, you remember, the only way to remove a president is through impeachment. Once the president's elected, sworn into office, Andy, we've been through this because we represented one. The only removal process is impeachment. You can't indict a sitting president because you can't, and you certainly can't indict. And I'm not just, I understand your frustration, Steve, and it's affected so many families. But the problem here is a lack of enforcement of existing laws and a lack of concentration on where the problem actually is, which is the southern border. And to ignore that is to ignore reality, and we're paying a huge consequence for that. But meanwhile, in the midterm elections, the president and his party did pretty well. That means just being honest. So it kind of tells you there's a disconnect here.
There is a disconnect, Jay, and I don't quite understand why the wave was just a ripple, but that's beside the point. The point is that the president of the United States has a duty to protect the border, among other things, protect the nation, protect the border. And the border, and I keep saying this, the figures that you gave on fentanyl are shocking to the conscience. And those all came through that arena in the southwestern border primarily. And that is a shocking thing. You and I have both had fatalities
yes.
in very close to us that are fentanyl related or that fentanyl has played some sort of role in. So it comes very close to us and we feel it very strongly, but we're not alone. Others the same way.
Unfortunately.
The president is not going to cure in 2 days what he has not cured in 2 years. And that is sanctifying the border. And
right.
I use the word sanctifying because the border is something sacred. It defines a nation and a people. And the president is not doing what his constitutional duty imposes upon him to do.
Yep.
And that is protect us, Mr. President.
All right, Jerry, we're going to take your calls, 800-684-3110. Jerry's calling from Texas on line one. Jerry, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I keep hearing reports that X number of thousands of immigrants are coming through the border daily. Does anybody have a number as to how many of them are immediately expelled? Because when they come, they're either bused to other cities.
Yes.
They're turned loose. How are they going to survive? Where are they going to go? I'm looking at from a
no. Here you let me give you the Jerry. This is a great question. So Title 42 has been used more than 2.4 million times to immediately expel unlawful entrants into the United States. 2.4 million times. When Title 42 expires, Professor Hutchinson, that tool in the federal toolbox is gone.
Absolutely. And the other additional problem, of course, is the willingness to expel illegals. And so if you look at what's happened to our country over the past 3 to 5 years, we've even changed the terminology with respect to illegal aliens. Now they're just considered migrants as if they have the presumptive right to remain in the United States. And if you look at our leadership in Washington, D.C., that is precisely their view, that if you come across our border illegally, you have the right to remain. Keep in mind, of course, that if you look at the United States' northern border, that is relatively secure. So if you come from Canada, you have to comply with normal procedures. But if you come up through Mexico, apparently you do not have to comply with normal procedures. And so I think the fundamental problem is the Biden administration's unwillingness to enforce the law.
So Governor Lee of Tennessee, because Tennessee has been notified that they're going to get a lot of unlawful entrants, this is what he had to say.
This is something new for us. It's not new what's been happening at the border for the last 2 years, as we know, but this is new to Tennessee. Now, the administration is requiring Tennesseans to pay the price for their failures, and we have to stop this. Tennesseans are already paying a huge price in the way of fentanyl deaths and trafficking. We're already paying a price, but now we're being asked to pay a greater price for the failure at the border, and we can't take that much longer. Americans can't take this much longer.
Well, Governor Lee is totally correct, Cece, and I think the reality is, and I think we have to be clear on this, that we are in another pandemic here. The fentanyl deaths, just that alone should be enough to say, build the wall, build the fence, secure it, put National Guard troops down there, do whatever you have to do. We can't take this. There's tens of thousands of people coming in with these illegal drugs on them. I mean, they may not even know they're on them. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I do know this. Americans are dying because of this. And this administration says there's more important things to do.
Right. And protection of our border and protection of American people is not the priority. You can see that even when they try to fund the border. It's not for protection. In fact, they say we cannot protect it. Those funds can't be used. It's for processing. But what we're seeing is that processing basically is just letting everybody come across the border and then shipping them elsewhere.
Correct.
With the drugs, human trafficking, all of that. They're just passing it around the United States to Tennessee and other states. Every state is becoming a border state because the processing is not any legal processing. It's literally just putting them on a bus and shipping them somewhere
else. But don't worry, the federal government is suing Arizona for putting up shipping containers on their borders to try to keep out unlawful entrants. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. And that's why the American Center for Law and Justice exists. We educate you on this broadcast 5 days a week. with all the news and information. We provide short commentaries, longer commentaries on all of our social media applications. Your support's critical. Also engaging these in court and in the halls of Congress. And that's where you come in. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to support the ongoing work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Again, that's at ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, and we appreciate that very much. Again, thank you to our chief engineer retiring today, Ray Vaca. Ray, thank you, Ray. We're all clapping here, and I hope you're clapping on our social media comments. Wish Ray a happy retirement. I know he's looking forward to it. Well-earned, well-deserved. We'll talk to you tomorrow.